D4. Number 2A.
Let's just consider a little bit more what we understand as system of reference. You know, when you are here on Earth, you know exactly what is right and what is left. And you know exactly what is above and what is beneath. But if you only go away a little bit from the Earth, say perhaps 100 miles above the Earth, there you don't know anymore what is right and what is left, what is above and what is beneath. And so everything, the whole system of reference which we have on this Earth is really Earth-bound. And you can see at once that this is we live really here on a system of reference which is completely relative, which has nothing to do with an absolute system of reference. If we go a few hundred miles above the Earth, you don't have any more gravitation, then we have different chemical processes, we have different biological processes, we have no more the time as we have here, we have no more so and so many hours a day. The time sense is different. Can you see that we live and are used to live on a system of reference which is very fragile, very relative, very human, very material, so that we can see that we do not, in orderly wise, not live on a unchangeable, absolute system of reference. Now, this is really what I feel that Mrs. Eddy tried to show us, that there is a infinitely absolute system of reference, which is completely different from our human system of reference. For instance, if you only take what we had here, the synonymous terms, see, and she capitalizes here these terms, she capitalizes mind, because she gives here another point in the system of reference, which says, in the absolute system of reference, there is the one infinite mind, whereas humanly, we are living on a system of reference which builds on human opinions, on mortal mind, on what we think is right and wrong, on what we think is morally good or bad. We have all that mentality which we carry around and according to which we measure things. Now, this is a false point in the system of reference, and therefore she capitalizes mind and says this one mind is infinitely available, is infinitely right. No matter where we go, it's always the one mind. Our false system of reference is built on the false sense of spirit, namely of matter, of flesh, of dualism, of chance instead of order. And we live every day and hope we have the chance that we don't get into an accident. We hope that we have the chance that things will happen beautifully and that all the best is coming. We hope and hope that there is no chaos, that there is development. But we just live on a false system of reference. We live on the system of reference here as a counterfeit of soul, on the sense testimony, and what we see we believe, and what we don't see we don't believe. And on that, for a long time, all the natural science and exact sciences have been building. What they couldn't see didn't exist, and that's that. Or we have, humanly, the false sense of principle, namely that we believe in our false system of reference that there are parts, that there are isolated parts, that there is fragmentation, whereas principle says there is only one principle, and this principle is the principle of all principles. And naturally we believe in the system of reference which is the exact opposite of life. Namely, we believe that there is to everything a beginning and to everything an end. that there is a coming and a going, that there is a growth and a maturity and a decaying. These are the systems on which we live. Or truth, we have a false sense of truth. We have, instead of one truth, one science, we have a lot of sciences conflicting with each other, not integrating with each other, and we believe that we have somehow to fit these sciences together so that they don't do more harm than they already do. Or we believe in the opposite of love and believe very strongly that destruction is something which is going on all the time. Instead of salvation, there is destruction, that there is disintegration going on with everything, that everything disintegrates. These are just a few points to show that humanly we live on a system of reference which humanly we think is quite reliable and has been made an absolute system of reference, but we see it isn't. There is therefore the necessity of seeing an absolute system of reference which doesn't change. No matter if we go a bit higher above the earth or not, or if we do this or that, there must be a system of reference which is completely reliable. Now, again, with these three categories of capitalized terms, we have got from Mrs. Eddy something which she has anticipated 100 years before the world realized it. Namely, she has seen that she can reduce the infinite to a few fundamental symbols, to a few super symbols, so to say, with which to calculate infinitely. By capitalizing these terms, she has given us what we call super symbols of being. Now, all the new sciences of cybernetics and computation, they all are based on finding simpler and simpler and fewer super symbols, so as to make the infinite simpler and simpler and simpler. And not the other way around, what specialization has done, namely to make our life and our being always more complicated. Real science and the fundamentalists in science, or not the fundamentalists in science, the researcher in theoretical and basic science, they go out to find those few super symbols which cover the whole. Now this is, I don't know how Mrs. Eddy could feel that and see that, it must have been through revelation, through divine dictation, that she could give us a few super symbols which include everything. In other words, if we understand these capitalized terms, we do not just understand these few terms, but we understand the infinite. Because mind stands for a whole range of concepts. Spirit stands for a whole range of concepts. And so soul, principle, so does word, Christ, Christianity, and science. So does the four levels of science. They stand for a whole range. But because we can find a common denominator of that whole range and just pinpoint it with super symbols, they are only symbols here because they are not reality, you see these terms. They only symbolize reality. So by finding these super symbols, really, we get a greater uniformity. I read in one of these books lately that Einstein said, the proof that you have found something, it lies in this, that you can formulate it so simple that it is like a poem. Every formulation that is two pages long hasn't found something big. And actually his formula, which he had found, have always greatest simplicity, because the infinite finally is just one. See, so really this is the beauty of this science, that it can give a simplicity and uniformity which is understandable, which is not complicated, not intricate at all. It is really this what Buckminster Fuller, I think, calls so nicely. He says, the whole trend of mankind must be to do more and more with less and less. See, this is what in cybernetics is called the principle of redundancy, that you have redundant measure of more and more and more, but the principle of redundancy is to give more and more and more on the basis of less and less and less. So instead of 600 pages of the Christian Science textbook, we can give less and less and less and less until we just have a few super symbols. And if you understand these super symbols, it includes the whole textbook and more than that, and infinitely more than that. This is the method, see. I try to be very slow perhaps a bit, but because I can see, you see, it demands a complete change of attitude in the student. Instead of trying to find infinite truths, see, to concentrate oneself to finding just those few super symbols in their meaning, in their proper meaning, because they give us all. With less and less, we get more and more. Which brings the practical consequence, namely, that we should not be interested in individual facts, nor in individual problems. You see? But just in that. If somebody comes along and says, oh, you know, I have such a lot of troubles, such a lot of problems, I don't know where to start solving them. That's isolation. That's running after little parts. If somebody comes along and says, I have only one problem, and that is to understand these super symbols, and I know he has understood something of what it is all about. This is the only problem, so to say, which we have. It's a nice problem. It's a positive problem. And understanding this, all these human problems, which belong to the human system of reference, they just don't matter. Those we just can leave to be solved by themselves or to be solved by seeing this system of reference. So, think what it will mean for our life if we accept wholeheartedly, so to say, the right method, this methodology, and can really and quietly and peacefully say to ourselves, oh, the problems don't matter. This divine system of reference alone matters. I don't need to know single facts. Single facts, single problems, single situations are absolutely irrelevant. Is that the right word? Irrelevant? Properly pronounced? All right. Wonderful. I'm quite proud of myself. Yes. They are absolutely irrelevant. Just take that home. Just let it sound right through your consciousness. Going home, say, what should I be bothered about? All the many single facts, single problems, single situations, they have no solution in themselves. They can only be solved from a complete new structure of consciousness. And so all that we have to do is to see this new system of reference. Think of what Mrs. Eddy said. She said that principle is not to be found in fragmentary ideas. Not even in ideas. It's not found there. That's why she never gives in the whole of the textbook an indication what ideas are as substances. So principle cannot be found in fragmentary ideas. Man, she says, is not a solitary idea. A solitary idea? Solitary idea. Now, he isn't. You see, how could it be? This would mean that the infinite could be split up in parts. But if that is not possible, that the infinite could not be split up in parts, what then is man? We can say he is obsolete if we regard him as an isolated idea. Or you can say, then man doesn't exist. Then only the one infinite being exists, which expresses itself infinitely. And so the concept of man becomes obsolete too, and irrelevant, absolutely irrelevant. You have no idea. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Yes, you have an idea. What it will mean if you go out into your future life and say, I don't have to do with people. I don't have even to do with men. I have only to do with the infinite one. Don't you feel that that is taking a burden off one shoulder? If we believe in people, we believe in fragmentation. We believe in the very opposite of the whole. And so this divine system of reference takes away from us that what I call metaphysical filigram work. Does that mean anything? Huh? That metaphysical filigram work. Filigrane. Yeah. Well, you know what it is, even if I don't express it properly. You know, just running around after every little detail, trying to polish up every little detail, until one is completely exhausted. Whereas, if one takes the whole, it includes all the details. That's the old story. You know, my mother used to say one thing to me when I was a boy. She said to me, don't draw water with a thimble. Thimble. Don't draw water with a thimble. No filigram work. No little work. Not running after little things. Take the whole. Take those super symbols. And by taking it into consciousness, the bigger, the lesser is included. I know the human mind, who is built on a completely limited system of reference, says, well, then you neglect your duties. Then you neglect all the little things. And it is afraid that these little things will go wrong. But they don't go wrong. That's the point. They will not go wrong. The thing will be that in the measure as we see the bigger, that the proper right, the divine right, is going to manifest itself by itself without that we have to run after it. So we get really freed from that pedantic metaphysical work which we are perhaps used to do and get a bigger sense and always bigger sense by your going out from the one principle, growing out from the infinite one, seeing that infinite one as a structure, as structuralism, as what they call today the general system theory, something wonderful what they mean, namely that what is shown here, that the systems of the synonym and the system of the four operative sense of God and the levels, that these systems work together in one over system, super system, as a general system theory. You know, the world today is awake. Usually only Christian Zionists are asleep. But the world is awake. The world is going ahead in the most fundamental things with a rapidity, and is seeing these fundamental things in quite a clear way. And if we are not right on our toes, the world will present the substance of the science of being and not Christian Science, because we can't present science as religion. Christian Science is not a denomination. Christian Science is being itself. And being itself is revealing itself not to a little bunch of Christian Scientists. Being itself is revealing itself to everybody who is open to it. To everybody. No matter what he is. No matter if he's a physicist or a biologist or if he's a Catholic or what it is. Whoever is open for the breaking in of the new idea will see it. And many people are willing to be open. So what we need is a completely new consciousness, is a structured consciousness. You see? Instead of having that atomistic consciousness, that consciousness which runs after little details, after every atom of truth, our consciousness must have a structure, must be a structure consciousness. That structure must be a divine structure, a divine system of reference. And so we are quite clear that what we are up against is a complete mutation of consciousness. Not an improving of consciousness, not an improving of our concepts, but a complete new vista, a complete new vision going out from a new system of reference. Then, and only then, we are really comprehensivists. Then we are comprehensivists. Then we are not atomists, which go out from details, then we go out from the whole, from that which comprehends all. And comprehension is in the English language is a wonderful term. We don't have any equal in the German, you see, because comprehension has two meanings. It is to understand something and at the same time including. To comprehend, isn't it right? It means including, and it means understanding what it includes. It's a terrific word which you have, this term comprehend, and therefore to be a comprehensivist, see, is one who understands that highest system of reference because it includes all. So, in this way, I think I would like to see this. Now, we go on and investigate a little bit these three different categories. We take first the category of the seven synonymous terms. The seven synonymous terms, as given in the textbook, you know, is on page
Mr.
Zeddy gives that definition of God, you know, which stands for the infinite, through the seven synonymous terms. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Those terms which he capitalizes, therefore which belongs to the new tongue. What means synonymous? Just to repeat it quickly, because there is some beauty in it. It means, according to the dictionary, that synonymous terms are words which, within certain limits, can be used interchangeably. You can exchange them, but only within certain limits. Within certain limits. Therefore, while outside of these limits, they may differ very greatly in meaning and use. So outside of these limits, they differ very greatly. So we can't just blindly exchange one synonymous term for the other, else we would say, why seven, if it can be done much easier, simpler, just by using one. So they have different characteristics, and to know these characteristics naturally is a study by itself, which you can do each one alone at home, studying the seven synonymous terms and see how mind differs from spirit, how spirit differs from soul and from principle and from life and truth and love, and in this way get a sevenfold aspect of the one being, of the main nature of it. Mrs. Eddy asks, then, are these terms synonymous? And she answers and says, yes, they are. That is, she says, yes, they are, they are. What we had before, either exchangeable or, outside of certain limits, not interchangeably. They are, she says, yes, they are interchangeable. They refer to one absolute God. So only in this way, you see, she makes, this is the limit within which they are interchangeable. Only within that limit that when they refer to God, they are interchangeable. Otherwise, not. Otherwise, they are not interchangeable. Therefore, they are also intended. Now you see that she gives a very different relationship, not the relationship to its origin, but to its expression. They are also intended to express the nature, essence, and wholeness of deity. So the moment we ask not, do they belong to God, but what do they express, what is their nature, what are they here for, at that moment they are no more interchangeable. They have definite values, absolute definite values. They either express the nature or the essence or the wholeness of being. And as far as we see today, we can see something is not quite clear with this. Is it all right? Yeah? Oh, I'm glad. You know, they have found out how to go to the moon exactly, but they haven't found out yet how to produce a felt pencil that goes on a film and and writes clearly. All right. Well, we feel at the moment that mind, spirit, and soul give the nature, you see, the nature of being. That the essence of being is life, truth, and love. That's what we demonstrate. And that the wholeness of it is really principle, which includes, on one side, mind, spirit, soul, on the other side, life, truth, and love. You know how Mrs. Eddy says that in that article on capitalization, where she says, principle, she says, in their textbook, it is clearly stated that God is divine principle. His synonymous terms are love, truth, life, spirit, mind, soul, which combine as one. The divine principle includes them all. So we have, so to say, a pyramid where we can see that in the hierarchy of the seven synonymous terms, principle really stands at the top, including all the others. Those two wings giving the nature of principle as mind, spirit, soul, we will see that very clearly when we go on, and that its essence is that which we demonstrate, namely life, truth, and love.